Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, fed but firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joel Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Clean fight. I'm Joel Cortez, fed but firm.
Welcome to the Fed but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Merry Christmas to all our viewers around the world checking it out.
John. Oh my God. Merry Christmas to all of you. Not just to all of you, but from all of our team. That was Charlie Carrillo you just saw popping in and out in the reindeer antlers. And this is Dylan Tonero. This is our executive assistant.
And we had Jackie in New York City.
Absolutely. Everybody. Everyone from everyone on our team, have a very Merry Christmas.
I want to wish everybody on our team. I'm the host of the show. And without my team, I could never do it. I want to thank them all for being part of this great show. Merry Christmas to John, Dylan, Jackie,
Christmas.
Charlie.
Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to all of you.
Okay, now
let's get started.
We're going to start with our show of the week. And of course, you know, 2018 was a great year for us. And we're looking forward to 2019. John, now you can say what you want to say about our show.
I was going to say, man, boxing's been great to us all year, right? They've been great to us all year. Last year was amazing. This year's been incredible. This month has been incredible. And then we finished out the last weekend of the month, really, on just an incredible, an absolutely unbelievable note. We have so much to talk about this week. We had two big pay-per-view fights in London. And then we had, you know, the Charlo brothers co-headlining their first fight here on Fox. So we have so much to get into. Where do you want to start?
Well, the Charlo brothers, of course, you know, we know that they're twins. They're both world champions. Work. And unfortunately, one lost his title, so it ends up on a bad note for the Charlo brothers, one of them losing the championship.
It was a shame.
The other one winning. However, it was a controversial decision, and Larry Hazard Sr. had it unofficial score. He had Charlo winning by a long shot, mm-hmm. and Charlo was very upset, and you know, I guess rightfully so to some extent. I mean, the judges all had him losing, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, here, at the end of the day, here's the thing that I notice far too often that happens. You know, I'm on all these boxing forums. I'm reading all these comments. I read all your guys' comments. And I notice everybody wants to call everything a robbery all the time. We're so quick to scream robbery every single time that an A-side wins a fight. The fact of the matter is, frankly, it's really hard to judge boxing matches. And when they're close and they're tight, it's even harder. Usually, yes, the tie goes to the runner. Usually you're going to get the A side is going to err on that side of the decision making. But at the end of the day, when you have two very close, very controversial fights, at the end of the day, if you're leaving it up to the judges, then you're going to have to be at their mercy. And I think that whether Tony Harrison or Jermell Charlo had won that first fight, people would be screaming robbery on the other side. And then when Jermall Charlo pulled out a tough decision against his opponent, Matt Korobov, we hear robbery on the other side. And it's a shame, but at the end of the day, when, you know, it's human error, and when you leave certain things subjective to judges' decisions, whether it's diving or gymnastics or boxing, then this is what's going to happen. You know who's not complaining about judges? Dylan White. Because he was down on all three cards going into the third, going into the 11th round against Derek Chisora, and then he put him down, and he won the fight. At the end of the day, if you're worried about the judge or early stoppages from refs or anything else, would you have to do what you have to do? And, you know, that's win the fight decisively. And I think it's too quick to call robbery these days when it's just sometimes at the, you know, that's the reason we have judges. What do you think about that?
I think that... Well said, John. I think that boxing fans out there know that boxing can be very, very controversial at times. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have some of the judges out there that some nights they're on target, some nights they're off. But, you know, when it comes to close rounds, even myself as a boxing analyst, sometimes I call a fight and I make my predictions, and sometimes I'm wrong. And I admit sometimes when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't try to hibernate from it. I just try to call it the way it is. But sometimes the judges are really way off. I wasn't paying close attention to the scoring the other night. We had an activity going on, so I was more focused on the other activity. I would come and look at the screen once in a while. But I was kind of surprised at the loss of one of the Charlo brothers. But, you know, they'll be back, go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. He'll come back a lot stronger next time around. They're young, so they still have a lot of talent left, so I think that boxing 2019 will see Charlo regaining his championship again.
I think there's certain fights that are known as step-up fights. where you're supposed to find out what people are made of. And then there's certain fights that are known as showcase fights, where you put these guys on against opponents that they're supposed to beat, and they're supposed to look like world beaters. They're supposed to look unbelievable. It's supposed to help their resume, you know, immensely. And that's what this fight was for both of them. They were supposed to come out and look like absolute titans, look like lions, and neither one of them did. Now, I don't know if this was a case of them getting exposed or a case of them kind of, like, I think it was more of a learning experience, to be honest with you, because both of them are still just as talented in a lot of ways as we thought they would be in the sense of potential. They both have a ton of athletic ability, pretty good fundamentals given the, you know, their God-given athletic ability. And I think they still have, you know, the sky's still the limit for both these kids. But I think they kind of realize just how far they are from that top tier. And neither one of their opponents is anything to slouch at. Matt Khorovov was an excellent amateur, an Olympian. He was, you know, he was a great pro and a great prospect. And, he's lost, but he's no slouch. And neither is Tony Harrison. So they came out and they got checked a little bit. And they realized, wow, this is what that upper tier is like. If we want to continue headlining cards, this is what we're going to be matched up with and better. And this is what we're going to have to bring to the table. You know what I mean?
Alfredo Barrios from ESPN is one of the editors and producers from Deportes, ESPN Deportes. Mm-hmm. And I had him on the radio talk show Saturday, and he was bringing to my attention about the Charlo brothers. They have not faced up tough opposition. Mm-hmm. And here it is Saturday night, when just what he was saying, when they faced good, tough opposition. And these guys were not at the same level. At least we didn't think it was.
No, they weren't.
It goes to show that maybe the Charlo brothers have been overrated as far as their skills are concerned.
Right,
I think they both have good talent. They have a lot to prove, and they're still in the learning process. So I think in 2019, they will step up a little bit more.
I sure hope so, man. I mean, look, we've had Jermall in that conversation potentially with, obviously, Canelo, Triple G, and then that lower tier with, Jamie Jacobs, and a little bit lower, even Billy Joe Saunders. And we've had them in that, you know, that big five in the middleweight division. We've had Jermall talked about in there. And I think he's still in that conversation. I think he's still just below that top tier. But, I mean, let's not underrate Matt Khorovov. This is a guy who came in, who's a light heavyweight, dropped down to 168 to fight on this undercard, and then had to drop down again. This is a very big opponent. But at the same time, Jermall Charlo should have looked better, and he didn't. And, at the end of the day, you have to look better if you're going to continue to keep, if you're going to fight a guy who the casual fans don't know, you got to make him look real good. If you want Canelo's attention, if you want Triple G's attention, Danny Jacobs' attention, if you want Billy Joe Saunders' attention, you better come out and make a statement. And I don't think he did that.
I think that in 2019, they will come up and show the fans that they have a lot left, and they're still in the learning process. And some of that Canelo Alvarez, he learned a lot when he lost to Floyd Mayweather, mm-hmm. made him a better fighter. I think the same will happen with Charlo lost Saturday night. And I think 2019, we're going to be seeing the Canelo Alvarez either fighting Triple G again to square up and finish up that controversial.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, and close the chapter, the book on that fight with Triple G. And then we'll have the Jaime Munguia, the young Mexican unknown of up until last year when he knocked out Salam Ali in New York City, gaining the Super Welterweight Division Championship at mm-hmm. WBO. So he's another fighter that's up in the rankings. Mm-hmm. He's coming up there to be one of the top ones. And a year ago, he was nobody here. Now he's starting to be a superstar in boxing.
Oh, yeah.
He defended his title twice and come up victorious. And 2019, let's see who he's going to face. And hopefully, he'll be another rising star in boxing.
Speaking of rising stars in boxing, speaking of soon-to-be superstars in boxing, what about Josh Warrington coming out and beating Carl Frampton, boxing his ears off? After everything we've heard, Carl Frampton, who's an absolute legend, an absolute phenom, maybe the greatest boxer, definitely the greatest boxer Northern Ireland's ever seen, and an absolute animal in there, to come out there and lose decisively to Josh Warrington right after beating, right after he beat Lee Selby.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has come out and made his statement known, and he wants Leo Santa Cruz next, and I think he deserves him. What an amazing fight for you. All you British fans out there should be over the moon about this kid, because he is the real deal.
Yeah, okay, well, you got to know a lot of good fighters that came out of Ireland. You got to remember Barry McGuigan.
Oh, yeah, that's his mentor.
He's a Hall of Famer. And then you have Ricky Hatton, also an Irish fighter. You have a couple of good Irish fighters came out. Are from the great country of Ireland. A lot of Irish fighters back in the days, back in here in the United States, a lot of them used to come here and they had better opportunities to become good fighters. Remember Jerry Quarry, a heavyweight who fought Muhammad Ali, Irish Jerry Quarry, Irish Jerry Cooney, and you had so many So many other.
They've had a lot of great fighters.
A lot of good fighters. They came out. They have a lot of big heart. The Irish, the Jews, and back in the 40s and 50s, those two groups were really.
Ran boxing for a long time.
Yeah, they were in the picture for a while there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so 2019 fans, any questions you may have, ask us now before we cut off. We have about another 18 minutes on the show. Any questions, ask me. I got here a producer, engineer, Charlie Carrillo is behind the tablet, ready to any questions you may have. Make it more positive. If anything negative, we most likely will not respond to you. So make them nice. Nice and sweet. Give us a nice Merry Christmas ending.
And if I don't have time before the end of the show, I want to make sure I say this now. Next week, we're having our big end-of-year show where we recap all of 2019. We have our second annual Fair But Firm Awards coming up. And then we talk about what we expect to see and hope to see in the coming year in 2019 because... And that's a show you can't miss. We've been preparing for that one for a while, and I honestly cannot wait to do that show. So please make sure you tune in next week. And, you know, as always, subscribe on Spotify and you know, everything else, iTunes and YouTube, and catch us on Facebook and everywhere else that you can watch us. Make sure you do, because shows like this, shows like next week, you definitely don't want to miss.
We want to see the shows of the year. I mean, we have certain shows, but some are outstanding. One of the most outstanding ones was Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. That brought a lot of attention to into boxing. Our friends up in the United Kingdom want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a healthy and happy New Year.
As always.
Thanks for letting us be part of your team. We really enjoy it. We had a lot of fun with you guys throughout the year. And we're looking forward to meeting up someplace and have a good time together.
I sure would like that.
I know you guys like to hoop it up with some nice beer and whatnot. And we can do it here in the entertainment capital of the world, the boxing capital of the world. Come on here. That we have when we have a nice group of British fans come out to support their fighters. Ricky Hatton, when he fought here, well, like 3,000 fans came from the United Kingdom, came out here. And it was nice to see that the fans really show up for these kind of events. And where else better than the Vegas capital, the Las Vegas, boxing capital of the world, and of course the entertainment capital of the world. You have everything here in Vegas.
Everything.
If you're going to come out here, this is the place to be. ESPN, I want to thank ESPN for giving me the opportunity. I've been with them now for about 4.5 years as a boxing analyst. I'm going to take off my hat to the ESPN group, and thank you for my colleagues, Julio Cesar Chavez, Juan Manuel Marquez, and the whole gang has just been Claudia Trejo sending me text messages all morning, wishing me a Merry Christmas. She's a dear friend. I love her dearly. She's like a little sister to me. And she's really done so much for ESPN. Alfredo Berrios and Mario Fratticelli, the vice president of ESPN Deportes, we're doing a great job, my whole team. So I just want to say, you know, that boxing's been good.
My God, hasn't it ever? This has been a great year, man. I mean, just a great year. We've been getting gifts all year. Oh, we got a question?
Yeah, what about Spence and Mikey Garcia? What are you
saying? Okay, Errol Spence and Mikey Garcia. Errol Spence Jr. is one of the top up-and-coming rising stars in boxing. However, Mikey Garcia has been there. Mikey Garcia has been a three-time unified champion in three different weight classes. Featherweight, lightweight, super lightweight, which is 135, where he's champion, and then he's gone up to 140. Actually, he was lightweight, super lightweight, and now he's in the welterweight division.
He's going into the welterweight division. Errol Spence. He won a title at 140 also.
Yeah, won at 140. He's held three division titles, unified champion. So he's got a lot going for him. So he got the experience, and one thing, he can punch. He's a good smart fighter. Errol Spence, I know Errol Spence is one of the better ones at welterweight division, but I don't think he's fought anybody with the experience and the punching power of Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia, you can't say no to him because he's proven himself he's still undefeated.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, Errol, you're gonna have a tough fight.
I want to give a shout out to Mikey Garcia, because it's one thing to go up, you know, two weight classes to fight a guy who's above you on the pound-for-pound list. We saw that with Amir Khan against Canelo Alvarez. We saw that with Kell Brook against Triple G. To go up there to fight a guy who's, you know, in a different class than you, to gain more fans, gain more exposure, and really, you know, kind of throw it all on the deck is one thing. But to do that against a guy who's on a lower who's rated lower pound for pound than you. We haven't seen this since Floyd Mayweather did this against Canelo Alvarez. We haven't seen two guys, we haven't seen a guy who has so much to lose go up two weight classes to fight against a guy who's so powerful and so terrifying. It's absolutely unbelievable, and I want to give such a huge shout out to Mikey Garcia for having the heart and the spirit to do something like this, because you don't see it very often.
Right, good. Now, going back to the Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight, the fans are still complaining about the controversial laws, and my personal opinion on the fight. I tell you one thing, I thought Tyson Fury pulled it out at the end, but with that last knockdown, that kind of left a big question mark. I mean, he was almost out. Any referee would have stopped it right then and there. Nobody would have said anything. But you know what, fans? As much as I agree with you guys, it's a controversial ending. It goes one way or the other. But you know what? The rematch, and if it happens again, let it happen 2019, because this is going to shut everybody up. I know Tyson Fury definitely has all the talent in the world. He proved me wrong.
Yes.
So I thought he was going to get stopped by Deontay Wilder by the eighth round. And look what happened. So, you know, I'm a believer of Tyson Fury. He's made me definitely a big believer. I can't say I'm a fan, because I'm looking at it from an official's standpoint of view. So I got to try to be as neutral as possible. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, he convinced me that he has what it takes to be a champion.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a fan. And on top of that, this is kind of what we were talking about, man. This is what boxing is. We know this. We've known this forever. When Ali went to fight Foreman, all the cards were stacked against him. He had his promoter was promoting for Foreman. He had everything about it was meant to be a passing of the torch. And what did he do? He came out and he knocked Foreman out. Look at Pacquiao versus Broner next month. Everything on paper is stacked against Broner. Of course, all the money is ready to be given to Pacquiao, ready for the Mayweather fight, ready for everything else. But he could still come out and get it done. Tyson Fury came to America in Deontay Wilder's country to fight for his belt on his network, and he got knocked down twice. It's just, when you're not the A side, and he wasn't the A side, when Triple G came to fight Canelo the second time, you can't take rounds off. He knew exactly what he had to do, and he didn't get it done. We can all call controversy. It's easy and it's lazy to scream corruption. It's easy and it's lazy to scream controversy. But at the end of the day, both those guys knew what they had to do, and they didn't get it done. And that's kind of what it is at the end of the day. Sometimes it goes your way if you're the A side, like Jermall Charlo happened this weekend. Sometimes it doesn't go your way, like Jermell Charlo this weekend. But at the end of the day, when you're fighting a tight fight, a tough fight, and you leave it up to the, you know, up to the judge's, subjection, then you have to deal with their reaction and their judgment to it. And that's kind of how it goes, man.
Yeah, another question the fans are asking is about the United Kingdom and boxing, how it stands as it was years ago. Definitely, United Kingdom is rising to the point where they have reached the pinnacle of their boxing status. I mean, they really climbed up the ladder. I mean, 25 years ago, you hardly saw anything with British fighters. And Russia.
Oh my God! Yes.
Russia and Asia. I mean, so many fighters coming up. There's popping up internationally, all over the world. But United Kingdom has definitely come up to the point where you can say, you know, they're some of our better competitors in boxing come from Great Britain. So I take my hat off again to Great Britain for a job well done. Keeping boxing where it's at today.
I want to touch on that because I've said this before on the show, and I want to keep bringing it up because it does matter. It matters a lot. And everyone that just got mad at me for what I said about Tyson Fury, if they're still listening, I'd like them to listen to this, because what you guys have done in Britain and all over Europe in making the fight game as big as it is right now, I always say the spirit of boxing is in Mexico. They got that. That's the spirit of it. And the wallet of boxing, whether you like it or not, the most money is in America still. But the pulse right now of the fight game is in England. It's in the United Kingdom. It's Tyson Fury. It's Anthony Joshua. It's Josh Warrington. It's Billy Joe Saunders. It's all these guys. And you guys have done such a phenomenal job from the ground up, from the judges and the referees and the promoters and to the fighters and mostly from the fans. You guys have uplifted this sport and made it what it is right now.
Hey, you know what? I want to tell you guys one thing, that I was there in United Kingdom when you guys were starting to move into the ranking. When I started going out there refereeing Prince Nassim Ahmed.
Oh, yeah.
It was Nigel Benn, Joel Calzaghe.
Oh, yeah.
I thought when I was out there refereeing those fights, and people started getting a lot of notice, a lot of tension towards United Kingdom. I mean, they were good fighters out there. I would come back home. The Klitschko brothers, I was refereeing them there in Great Britain. And I remember, I mean, I couldn't even spell the Klitschko's name.
I still can't.
So I still can't sometimes.
It's a lot
but the Klitschko's, I mean... I will come to the United States and I will tell the fans and people here, hey, you know what? There's two brothers in the United Kingdom that are coming up. They're Russians, but they've been fighting at Germany. They've been fighting in Great Britain. And, of course, Lennox Lewis. Who thought Lennox Lewis? Nobody knew who Lennox Lewis was. Oh, I went out there to referee Lennox Lewis, and I came back home. I said, there's a guy out there that could be possibly a world champion. He's got what it takes. And sure enough, he proved it. He fought some of the best out there, even knocking out Mike Tyson. It's been an honor for me. Sometimes I got to pinch myself. I've been involved in so many great fights, and a lot of them had to be in the fact that I refereed in Great Britain and throughout Europe. But I think that boxing is really, United Kingdom is upwards.
Absolutely. And even beyond that, I want to touch on what you said about Eastern Europe and other parts of Europe. You look at Gennady Golovkin. You look at Vasily Lomachenko. You look at Oleksandr Usyk, an absolute front runner for our Fighter of the Year this year. Make sure you tune in next week, see who wins it. I mean, these are guys who you wouldn't have heard of, I mean, how long ago. And now, I mean, Eastern Europe is exploding with boxing talent. Western Europe is exploding with boxing talent. Thailand, Japan, Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, all these places that you would never, every corner of the globe. Period. We're going to have an Antarctica fighter come out next year. He's going to take the world by storm. You never know, because there's not another continent on the globe where there isn't so much incredible boxing talent. And the globalization of the sport has just been unbelievable.
Yeah, but the thing is that these fighters and from all over the world, their dream is to either fight in New York, in Mecca of boxing, Madison Square Garden, or in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Those are the two primary locations.
Where the money's at, baby.
Yeah, that's where the money's at. But that's where the big fights and the big bucks are here. So all these fighters, they're hungry. They can become champions in their respective countries, but they know that the real place, the real Mecca is Las Vegas and New York.
I also want to touch on the Dylan White versus Derek Chisora fight this weekend. I know I talked about it briefly, but I want to give it his due. It was a big rematch, and Derek Chisora came out and he impressed, but it ultimately wasn't enough. Dylan White is too big, too strong, and he's pretty fascinating. And he hit him with that big left hook and put him down. And, he's probably going to end up being Anthony Joshua's next opponent. They got a lot of bad blood between them. Anthony Joshua has really shown kind of his true colors lately, coming out talking about Dylan White. And I like that. I like seeing that. I don't like him hiding behind, behind the smile and everything else. And I don't mean hiding like out of fear, but, sometimes it's cool to let your real personality show. And I don't blame him when you're that big of a media personality to be kind of hidden behind a persona. Too many people do it. And it's understandable when you have that much money and that much notoriety on the line. But, seeing Anthony Joshua come out and he really doesn't like Dylan White. He doesn't like him at all. And I'm kind of excited to see that. We all know that the Wilder fight isn't happening next. So I'm interested to see what him and White can get done dancing in there.
Absolutely. Some fans ask me, is the Mecca in boxing in the United States or United Kingdom? But, the United Kingdom, you're getting there. You're climbing up the ladder. It'll be a while before you become the Mecca of boxing. But you're definitely on the right track. And I think that, you have all the talent in the world, and I'm glad you fans out there are starting to think that way, even ask those questions. That's good. I mean that you guys are really into it.
Yeah.
And you really truly believe that your country may be one day the Mecca of boxing.
And like I said, the pulse of boxing right now. I'm on every boxing forum there is. I read everybody's comments. I'm all day long. And every single place you go, everything you read, it's Britain first. There are more British fight fans, on English-speaking websites, fighting websites, than there are American fans, and there's a lot more of us. So, I mean, that's just, yes, the money is still here. Yes, we are still the Mecca. But there is no question what you guys have brought to the table these days. I mean, none.
Yeah, no, I really think that boxing is really definitely on the rise around the whole world. And if people are saying that boxing is dying, I don't know. You guys better go online, get your social media information, check out, and you can see. Come on, you kidding me?
Oh, we're larger than life now.
There's so much on boxing on the internet. You guys must be under a rock if you think boxing is dead.
I've made this comparison before. Every 10 years, they say that Saturday Night Live is dead, the TV show, and then we find out who our new stars are. And then, they've done it all the way back to Saturday Night Dead back in the 70s. And then there was the Eddie Murphy years and the Adam Sandler years and the Will Ferrell years. Once you know who your stars are, it comes back. Boxing's the exact same way. As soon as you know who the stars are, we realize, wow, how exciting this is. Of course, a few years ago, we didn't know who the stars were. The stars of the yesteryear, the Manny Pacquiao's, the Floyd Mayweather's, the Oscar De La Hoya's, they were done. It was over for them. So we were like, well, boxing must be dead. Of course it's not dead. We got to build up new characters, build up new stars, and we have. And now, I mean, we're back, baby.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of rising stars in boxing. There's a kid named Devin Haney,
Ooh-wee.
Who's fighting February 11th. on Showtime, New Generation, and he's a young kid. I'm on their team. I'm an advisor for them. Devin Haney, my prediction is that he will be another Floyd Mayweather or Sugar Ray Leonard. He's that kind of a fighter with that kind of a talent.
And those are all-time greats right there, Joe.
Yeah, well, he's going to be this kid. My prediction is that Devin Haney, who I met when he was about 10 years old, and here he is, 19, with 19 pro fights under his belt, all wins and with 14 big knockouts. And the guy's a slick boxer. You can hardly even touch him.
He's an absolute stud.
You can't touch him. And February 11th, he'll be fighting in Louisiana, the New Generation on Showtime. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that...
Man, we have a lot of big prospects out there. Yeah. We got Shakur Stevenson. We got, you know, like you said, Ryan Garcia. We were touching... Oh, no, that was on Saturday. By the way, Ryan Garcia. There's a million big names out there. Yeah. There's a million, you know, up-and-comers. And every year, we have more and more that we find out about. And I cannot wait to see what next year brings. And we'll be touching on that next week, obviously.
Absolutely. You know, we're looking forward to the... So all those fights that are coming up, and of course the rising stars are the ones that I'm looking forward to in 2019. It's going to be a great year.
I couldn't agree more. I don't really know what else to say, baby. I just want to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas from the Into Boxing team to the Into Boxing team, from the Fair But Firm team to the Fair But Firm team, to all of our fans, to all of our listeners, to all of our every time viewers. Make sure you subscribe on every outlet that I already named, and make sure on Saturdays that you tune into KDON 101.5 FM at 7:20 a.m. And you check up on us every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. Las Vegas time. Do the math for your own local time, but you don't want to miss us because we're on twice a week, and we do our best to bring you a good show.
And next year we'll be talking a little bit more about Canelo Alvarez, Triple G, and all these rising stars in boxing. And you guys ask all kinds of questions about fighters. They're out next week. We'll talk a little bit. We'll touch a little bit on them, but more 2019 is going to be the year that you're going to see all these stars that we left all the fans hanging there at the end. A Triple G with Canelo, what's going to happen there. So, don't forget Danny Jacobs. He's one of my favorites out there in the middleweight division. He's somebody to reckon with. Cannot forget about him because he had a good fight against Triple G. And a lot of people, some fans thought that he beat Triple G before Triple G for Canelo. So, I mean, Danny Jacobs is a fighter with a big heart. He suffered from cancer, and he beat cancer. And
Miracle Man.
Yeah, the Miracle Man, that's why I call him Danny, the Miracle Man Jacobs. So he'll be another outstanding fighter for 2019. And with that said, John, I can tell you that I want to wish a Merry Christmas to our dear friends out there around the world. I wish your Christmas wish would come true. I know some of my dear friends have been asking for Christmas Santa to give him a nice surprise Christmas gift. And hopefully that will happen to all our friends. But most importantly is that we have the love and affection that for each other, whether you like each other or not. Let's make 2019 a better year because we're all human and life is short. We're only here for a certain period of time. Let's make the best of it because without you fans out there, without the love and attention, it's going to be a little tough. John, what do you want to say to wrap it up before?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I can't imagine what more I could say. I want to wish everybody, I wish you a happy new year next week when we do our big recap show. Like I said, please don't miss that show. We have our Fair But Firm Awards. We go through everything that's going on that has happened in 2018, everything. And we go through what our hopes and wishes and expectations are for 2019. And it's the kind of show that you definitely don't want to miss. Plus, the outfits are going to be on point as well because, as always, it's a New Year's Eve show. We got to make sure we dress up, so... I want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas, or whatever your holiday is, have a very happy one of those. Or, if you don't have one, then have a happy day today. Because
we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Again, Happy New Year. Wish you the very best. Enjoy yourself. And most importantly, be careful while partying, driving, and drinking. Don't mix. So just be very careful.
Protect yourself at all time.
Yeah, protect yourself at all time. And be fair at all time. God bless you. God bless. Take care. I'm fair, but I'm firm, guys.
Fair But Firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Team fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair But Firm.